Radio Prague News. The Health Minister, David Rath, has said a parliamentary commission should investigate alleged links between the opposition Civic Democratic Party and the ailing VZP health insurance company. František Oldřich Kinský, a member of the old nobility, plans to sue the Czech Republic for billions of crowns after failing to recover extensive family property. And there is continuing opposition to a planned nuclear waste dump which is to be built somewhere in the Czech Republic. The Health Minister, David Rath, has said a parliamentary commission should investigate alleged links between the opposition Civic Democratic Party and the ailing VZP health insurance company. Mr. Rath, who put the insurance company under forced administration soon after taking office, has openly accused the leading opposition party of abusing VZP funds for dubious projects. The company has a debt of around 14 billion crowns. The opposition Civic Democrats say they are outraged by the accusations and are planning to take the health minister to court. František Oldřich Kinský, a member of the old nobility, plans to sue the Czech Republic for billions of crowns after failing to recover extensive family property confiscated after World War II on the grounds of the Beneš decrees. Over the past decade, Kinský has filed a total of 157 lawsuits with various Czech courts over property said to be worth 40 billion crowns. It was confiscated on the grounds that Kinský's father allegedly collaborated with the Nazis. Kinský's lawyer says the property was confiscated illegally because at the time it was no longer owned by Kinský Senior but by František Oldřich, who was a minor at the time. There is continuing opposition to a planned nuclear waste dump which is to be built somewhere in the Czech Republic. Experts have pinpointed six possible localities in different parts of the country, but people living in these areas are actively opposed to the idea. They have been signing petitions against its construction and rejecting offers of financial compensation. The head of the State Institute for Nuclear Safety, Dana Drábková, said on Wednesday there might be an alternative solution if several EU member states agree to build a common nuclear waste dump at an unspecified locality. The Czech Republic needs to reach a firm decision on the location of a future nuclear waste dump by 2025. It should be ready for use by 2065. The opposition Civic Democratic Party has lashed out at the ruling Social Democrats, criticising what they called the party's vulgar style of government, corruption scandals and broken promises. Ahead of next year's general elections, the Civic Democrats have compiled a so-called black book of the ruling party's sins. Opposition leader Mirek Topolánek presented this list of sins to the media at a press conference in Prague. Prime Minister Paroubek dismissed the black book as a pile of rubbish and said the opposition Civic Democrats lacked a constructive approach to the country's problems. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, broadcasting around the world from the Czech Republic. I'm David Vaughan. In today's programme, we look at the rise and rise of one of the Czech government's newest ministers, now the most popular politician in the country. We also meet the grandsons of two of the most loved Czech cultural figures of the 20th century, and could thousands of people in Prague be about to start going to work every morning by Porsche? To find out more, stay with us. Now here's a scene that every Czech, young and old, will recognise.
Dítě to malá holka.
Neopeřený kuře.
It's from the favourite of all Czech fairy tale films, Tři oříšky pro Popelku, the Czech take on Cinderella. One of the actors in the 1973 film is the youthful Vítězslav Jandák, a popular character actor. In the scene we've just heard, Jandák plays a bumbling fool, attending the handsome prince on a hunting trip. 30 years later, and just shy of 100 days into his role as culture minister, Yandak, with his bulbous nose, protruding belly and receding hairline, has become the nation's most popular politician, Brian Kennedy reports.
Actor-turned-politician Vyacheslav Yandak has overtaken his boss, Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek, as the most popular politician in the Czech Republic. Nearly 2 out of 3 Czechs think Yandak has shined to his role as culture minister, according to the latest poll by the STEM agency. Yandak is a likable enough fellow. He has made a point of turning out for regional cultural events outside the limelight and seems to have the common touch. He is also a political independent, and unlike the unpopular politicians in the cabinet, the ministers of labor and health, is not in a position to take decisions that affect the livelihood of John Q. public. Commenting on Yandak's 64% approval rating, political scientist Rudolf Kuchera told the newspaper Lidové Noviny the STEM poll merely proved the public knows nothing about the problematic state of Czech culture and that they only voted according to his face. Before his appointment in late August, Yandak, then director of a popular children's film festival in Zlín, promised to find innovative ways to boost the state cultural budget. With this Thursday marking his 100th day as cultural minister, what has he achieved so far? Well, the ministry will have about $3.5 million more to spend next year than it did in 2005. But in terms of the percentage of overall state spending, the ministry actually will have less money. With funds scarce, cultural organizations have criticized Yandak for allocating less in annual grants than will go towards adding an additional stage at the National Theatre in Prague, this when many theatres in the Czech capital are struggling and in need of repair. Church dignitaries, on the other hand, have praised Yandak for reaching out to them with promises of funding the repair of church properties seen as cultural landmarks. He further entered their good graces by, indirectly, raising priests' salaries. Yandak has also won praise for making the allocation of culture ministry funds more transparent. But his most important tests as a politician are yet to come. These include pushing through a new law on cinematography to support the struggling film industry and an amendment to laws governing church-state relations. In the meantime, Vyacheslav Yandak, the character actor, is certain to remain a popular figure as the curtain rises for his second act.
Thanks very much, Brian Kennedy. The good soldier Švejk and his fortunes in the World War is the episodic tale of a Czech soldier in the Austro-Hungarian army, whose own apparent stupidity is used to highlight the absurdities of war. Translated into 60 languages, it is perhaps the best-known Czech work of fiction of all time. Now, over 80 years after its publication, author Jaroslav Hašek and illustrator Josef Lada have been reunited in a new collection. Ian Willoughby has the story.
Když Bolševici zrušili Vánoce, or When the Bolsheviks Abolished Christmas, is the name of a freshly published collection of short stories and poems by the great Jaroslav Hašek. The author was a colourful character whose own life reflected the turbulent times in which he lived, and at one point he was a member of the Russian Communist Party. His grandson, Richard Hašek.
Haška se vždycky přizpůsobovala doba tak, jak potřebovala.
Hašek always adapted to the times. He had an anarchist phase. He was a bohemian. He also went through a Bolshevik phase, but when he began to really understand the Bolsheviks, he had to protest against their injustice, their stupidity. He wrote the title story on December 24th, 1917.
Gracing the cover of the new collection is a drawing immediately identifiable as the work of the great Josef Lada, who also illustrated the good soldier Švejk. But in the Czech Republic, Lada is known for far more than Švejk. He's much loved to this day for his Christmas paintings and a cartoon cat called Mikesh. Here's his grandson, also Josef Lada.
His pictures really capture all kinds of people, animals, children like them. There are Christmas and Easter themes. That's why I think people still like Lada's work so long after his death, which I am very happy about.
Given that When the Bolsheviks Abolished Christmas was put together just this year, Lada's illustrations were obviously not created to fit Hašek's stories. But they will be new to many Czech readers.
Of course, they were all published in Lada's lifetime, but mostly in magazines. So most of them haven't appeared in a book before. That's why I think it's a good thing that they are now available to the public through this collection, because people obviously can't be familiar with old editions of newspapers or magazines.
Ze starých vydání časopisů a novin znát nemůže.
Jaroslav Hašek died at the age of 40, but he said to have written an incredible 1,500 short stories. His grandson, Richard, says it hasn't always been easy to establish his authorship of some of them.
Použil 120 pseudonymů, které jsou vědecky doloženy.
He used 120 verified pseudonyms, which has made life difficult for literary historians. He used so many names because he was so prolific. He could write several fully realized stories a day. But they couldn't publish three stories under his name in the one newspaper. He didn't want people to get sick of seeing the name Jaroslav Hašek all the time.
And Richard Hašek, who now runs the pub where his famous grandfather wrote parts of Švejk, says more of his unknown work is sure to be published in the future.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now ask just about anyone who has ever visited Prague what commuting in the capital is like, and they'll likely mention the classic red and white trams designed by Škoda Plzeň that crisscross the city. For generations, the tram car has been as much a symbol of the Czech capital as any, an efficient and picaresque manner of getting from A to B. And although in the 90s modern low-level cars were introduced, one can still travel by older models. But soon you might not want to. Prague will see the introduction of an altogether new tram, the much-awaited 14T. Jan Bellinger has the story.
Who wouldn't want to test a brand new Porsche at the cost of a mere 20 crowns, less than a dollar US? Soon, Prague commuters will get the chance to do so, as the city's transportation authority plans to introduce the Škoda 14T, designed by the Porsche Design Studio. Soon, two of an eventual 20 new trams will roll out in Prague, modern and sleek. The Prague Transportation Authority's Michala Kuchařová filled me in on what commuters can expect.
The first two trams will arrive in Prague by the end of the year and will be followed by an additional 18 cars. There will be a period of testing for drivers to get many kilometers under their belts, but it shouldn't be too much of a problem. For tram drivers, the 14T should be very pleasant. The driver's cabin will, for example, be air-conditioned. Also, there will be a new system of mirrors and cameras so that the driver will have an excellent overview of what's going on at the back. As far as commuters are concerned, the most important thing about the tram is that it's fully low-level, fully accessible to the disabled. The new design is also more comfortable and will feature an upholstered interior that is easily cleaned. The vehicle is also quieter, meaning less noise in Prague streets.
Some, of course, will remain nostalgic for older, rattling models on Prague's tracks, but Michala Kuchařová, who says she's a bit old-fashioned concerning trams, admits the 14T is the future.
I am a little bit old-fashioned, so I like the old T3s, the ones with the rounded corners. For me, they represent the city. That said, the new model is, of course, a step forward. It is an advance.
The Transportation Authority boasts a user-friendly website where commuters can write what they think. The Transportation Authority is confident that the new Porsches in Prague will more than satisfy it and hope that they get mostly a good response.
Thanks very much, Jan. I must say I'm really looking forward to the new, more comfortable trams. That's one of the favourite Czech Christmas carols, and yes, of course, Christmas is drawing closer. And in this most Christmassy of countries, one of the first signs of the oncoming season is always the annual ritual of preparing the Christmas tree for Prague's Old Town Square. This year, the tree is an 80-year-old spruce from the ski resort of Janské Lázně in the Giant Mountains, a little over 100 kilometres northeast of Prague. Aptly enough, the tree was already covered with a powdering of early snow when it was carefully lifted by crane on Monday to prepare it for the long journey. 2 years ago, this was a Christmas ritual that ended in disaster. Just a few days after being put up as the pride of the Czech capital's decorations, the tree crashed to the ground in a gale, crushing half the market stands on the square and leaving a British tourist seriously injured and plenty more in a state of shock. Last year, the tree was, not surprisingly, on a slightly more modest scale. But memories are short, and this year's specimen not only competes with its ill-fated predecessor, but is even a good 5 metres higher. Let's hope the town hall will make sure the tree is very firmly anchored this year. And by the way, Prague's famous Christmas markets on the Old Town Square and Wenceslas Square both begin this Saturday, just in time for Advent. Well, we've had trams so far in this programme, but now for this week's talking point, we get into our cars.
I use car more than I should or more than I need. Actually, I use car to get from Vinohrady down to my school, which is like 20 minutes walk.
Yes, these days more and more Czechs are jumping into their cars instead of taking public transport, walking or cycling. A study conducted by the Environmental Research Centre at Charles University warns that the Czech Republic could move from being a moderately car-dependent society to a high car-dependent society by 2012, if current trends continue. So why are Czechs so eager to be behind the steering wheel these days? Nikola Brabenek reports.
One of my favorite things about the city of Prague is the public transport system. I've never seen anything like it in North America. Here, I can get anywhere, anytime. The trams, the buses, and the underground are all connected. It's almost too simple. When I heard that the Czech Republic was becoming increasingly car-dependent, I wanted to know what exactly this meant. I spoke to Hanna Foltinova from Charles University's Environmental Research Center about what car dependency is.
Car dependency concept says that the increase of automobile dependency brings negative impacts on the environment and health of people, and at the same time it eliminates alternatives to cars. During the last 10 years there was a huge increase of automobile transport, which took place together with a decrease of public transport. First, less people use public transport, and second, some connections, especially in rural places, were cancelled.
The increase in auto use has been so significant that Prague now has the most cars per inhabitant of any city in Europe. I was curious to know if increased car dependency was simply inevitable, that becoming more developed and more westernized also means becoming more car dependent. I spoke to Randall Gent from the World Car Free Network about this issue.
Many Western countries have actually gone very far in terms of developing bicycle infrastructure. Many people know about the Netherlands. The city of Groningen has 50% of all trips are made by bicycle. So that's a Western country. If you build your city structure only around automobiles, then people are going to be very dependent upon them.
I asked Mr. Gent if perhaps it was easier to convince people in this part of the world to use public transport, since there is already such an efficient system in place.
Well, it is and it isn't. In Central and Eastern Europe, a lot of people want to follow the Western model. It's a status issue. You know, to be seen driving around a car means that you're someone important, you're somebody with money, and that's valued. At the same time, a lot of the pre-automobile infrastructure is still in place, and people can really see the value of it. For example, Old Town Prague, you know, people appreciate such places because they're built on a human scale, they have a high quality of life. Your destinations are reachable very quickly on foot. You have the architectural detail, you know, narrow streets that provide a sense of mystery, of charm, of tranquility.
Hanna Foltinova from the Environmental Research Center also spoke about the psychological aspects of car dependency.
Automobile dependency has also a psychological and social dimension. We guess that car can be a status symbol. Some people, for example, don't want to use the public transport anymore because it can be a sign of a low social position in the society, for example. After 1989, there became a boom of small businesses. So one group of people who use cars are small businessmen.
I met up with Jaroslav Šicha, a young business student, and asked him how he would feel taking public transport to a business meeting.
Preferably, if I go to a meeting and there is a chance that this guy I have a meeting with will see my car, then or if he will see if I come by car or by public transportation, I would use my car, you know, to show that I have a car. And then people would like to do business with you if you look successful, because they will feel they will be successful also. So that's why you would use your car. And the better car you get, the better for you, you know, better image you have.
Although public transport is very good in the old town, the situation in the newer parts of the city are quite different. Randall Gent from World Car Free Network.
On the other hand, in Prague, for example, you see suburbs that are very automobile dependent, that are strung along the motorway and have, you know, are lined with big box stores such as Hornbach and IKEA, and people don't have the quality of life in these areas. They spend their time getting back and forth, and they live surrounded by giant parking lots.
I asked Mr. Gent what he thought were workable solutions to our increasing dependence on cars.
It takes a lot of leadership from the city. It takes a lot of gradual change where you bring in public space architects who know how to make pleasant environments that people want to live in. It takes the will to gradually reduce the amount of space devoted to the automobile so that over time you can reduce the dependence. If you just want to add, you know, public transport and walking and cycling paths on the side, you're really not going to see a decrease in car dependence.
Stepan Bohac, an architect working for Greenways, a Czech non-profit organization aimed at developing alternative transport in the Czech Republic, pointed to the Danish capital as a city which found a workable way of reducing traffic in the center.
If you try to reduce traffic in the center by forbidding it, it doesn't work and it makes a lot of protests, etc. But there are ways how to do it. One example would be the Danish capital, Copenhagen. They started simply by reducing parking capacities. Every year, they took off 2% of parking space. It was just a small change. They opened some new pedestrian area and reduced 2% of parking space. And in 20 years, the center of Copenhagen has changed in a way you wouldn't guess. People are walking, people are cycling there, and they enjoy their town much more than before.
Mr. Bohac calls for better urban planning and notes that the local political climate is also an important factor.
It means to start with urban planning, to place new structures and new activities on places which either have good access by public transportation or that reduce distances. You can observe both in Western Europe and also in Czechia. Most of the new structures are behind the town, close to motorways. Very often the access with public transportation is bad, and the urban planning of Prague doesn't have some strategy to make sustainable transportation system. It just lets the investors build where they want. Politicians prefer investing in big roads and motorways. And when you improve infrastructure for cars and the situation in public transportation remains the same, it's sure a motivation for people to get into cars.
I was also curious to know whether economic incentives were a realistic way of reducing traffic in the city center.
As concerns the charging, there are already discussions about it, but the thinking about this is wrong, because in London they introduced the charge to get rid of congestion and to improve public transit. For Prague politicians, it means another income to build more roads.
With all the challenges to reducing car dependence, I asked Mr. Bohac what one could do.
Everyone can, and I think this is very important, to start from your own behavior. It's quite funny that people are complaining about car traffic and use the car themselves if they go shopping for a distance of 800 meters. And this is the point everyone can start to think about his own mobility and to do it in a sustainable way.
That edition of Talking Point was first broadcast in February and was prepared by Nikola Brabenek. And that's all we've got time for on Radio Prague today. I'm going to head off home on the number 11 tram. But do join us tomorrow when we'll not only have the latest from the Czech political circus, but we'll also be visiting the zoo to meet some gorilla superstars. From all of us here, goodbye.
Mám tramvaj novou, elektrikou hnanou. Jezdí na ní všici civil i šorčici, ať se jak chtěj zovou.
Jezdí na ní všici civil i šorčici, ať se jak chtěj zovou.
Kdo však na ní sedne, strachem brzy zbledne. Neboť můj ty světe, ona všechno smete večer nebo ve dne.
Neboť můj ty světe, ona všechno smete večer nebo ve dne.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, ondes courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kHz. Sept heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 8h30, 8h57. Europe, 9860, 11600. 17h30, 17h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 15710, 19h30, 19h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 9430, 23h, 23h27, Amérique du Nord, 5930, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.